Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
These guys are ridiculous.
Now, how about them damn Celtics?
And we are back with another episode of How About Them Celtics. I was about to say Sam and I are recording, but Sam's a loser and he's not here. No, I'm just kidding. Sam's with his girlfriend. Happy birthday to Sam's girlfriend. Editing Jack here. So I was recording at the Garden for this one, and the Garden Wi-Fi decided to not be super cooperative. So my audio cuts in and out a lot for the first few minutes of this pod. Just know that I'm talking with Bobby Krisky and Noah Dalzell, who I will intro shortly. Just know that the first question that I asked them, which is choppy because of the audio, is general thoughts on the Celtics win over the Warriors, which is a 52-point win, not a 2-point win, which the audio makes it sound like I said. And the second thing I ask is about the Warriors' defense on Jaylen Brown, where they just sort of left him open. Those two questions get really choppy. It smooths out eventually as I switched Wi-Fis, but just wanted to let y'all know that. Sorry about it. And yeah, enjoy the pod. I'm joined by Bobby Krisky of SI Media Group, and you know him from Talking C's, and Noah Dalzell as well. Noah, it's your first time on How About Them Celtics. I'm sorry if it's not as cool as the Garden Report, but we're... And I appreciate you for jumping on. And then Bobby, welcome back. Talking C's will be live in like 6 hours when this comes out. So we'll be here, but welcome.
Yeah, nice little back-to-back. Looking forward to the front end of it after a statement win from the Celtics in their building on Sunday.
Mm-hmm. To win. A 2-point win on Sunday afternoon. Afternoon, right? Or is that like evening? What do you guys count 3:30?
Started at 3:30 afternoon.
Close enough, but
140 to starts, in my opinion.
Okay, good. I agree. 140-88 win for the Celtics. Absolutely dominant performance for those involved. 19 points for Jaylen Brown in the first quarter and 10 quarter, and just kind of went from there. Peyton Pritchard didn't get to 30 points as I bet Noah during the game, so I was a little sad. But he did, and with a good performance. Steve Kerr after the game, basically, like, you can't really take anything, have to throw it aside. I think the Celtics should take a lot away from this. Like, they are a really good basketball team, and I think that's what the Celtics should take away. What are you guys' sort of initial reactions to this win? We can start with Bobby, and then Noah can chime in as well.
I just love, you knew the Celtics would get up for this game, especially with Curry playing. And so I loved the energy that they maintained. The focus was there. And I thought that this was the recipe. We've talked a lot about, hey, the offense looks noticeably different without Kristaps Porzingis, but the success and the keys to it are the same regardless of whether he's in the lineup. So their activity in particular, minimizing paint touches from Golden State, flying around and challenging shots, forcing turnovers, all of that allows you to maintain an up-tempo operation. And what that led to is consistently creating quality shots. And that's the key. It doesn't matter if Porzingis is in the lineup or not, to being able to respect the fact that the game is connected, and what happens defensively often leads to then what unfolds at the other end, positively or otherwise.
Yeah, I mean, I get Steve Kerr's approach. It's not going to be the end-all be-all. It's just one bad game. At the same time, for the Celtics, it's not one good game. It's been a very dominant 11-game win streak and a very dominant season. So the takeaways that we're seeing tonight, they're not outliers. They're not things that, you know, maybe they just had the hot hand tonight. Like, these are systemic, you know, really big strengths of this roster. And we just saw it on full display against a rival in front of a really excited crowd today.
They were amped up. They were amped up from the jump. And I feel like the most interesting, I don't know if you want to say storyline or just stuff that people notice, the Warriors let Jaylen Brown shoot the ball. Like, they just were like, all right, Jaylen, you can do whatever you want. We're gonna let you score. If I open from three, that left the lane, they left him open. Bobby, was it worth it? Like, I don't think it was worth it. I don't think that was, I mean, good
you,
for
you
them.
Can't look at the results and say it was worth it. It pissed Jaylen off and gave him added fuel to go out there and stick it to him. And so it didn't work on any level. I suppose when you're the Warriors, you can gamble because the potential payoff is potentially significant, but I don't think it would have been long-lived enough for that. If they were to meet up in June, this would be in Jalen's head the entire series, maybe not even for one game. So I don't entirely even buy, you know, Draymond said we put this together like 15 minutes before the game. I think there's a bit of downplaying what just happened here because Golden State has been red hot as of late. They're jockeying for a position in the West standings, which are congested right now. I don't entirely believe that this was just, it's a game in early March. We're going to throw a curveball out. And maybe if we go all out and lose, that's something that we don't want our team to experience or theirs. I think there was also an element of both teams wanted this game and the Celtics just went to a level Golden State couldn't reach.
Yeah, I thought, and I don't say this often, but I thought the game plan actually was a little bit embarrassing for Golden State because they were trying to embarrass Jaylen Brown. Like, everybody knows Draymond Green's been on the other end of it more times than you can count. You know, we know Russell Westbrook's been on the other end of it. It's the most embarrassing thing that can happen to a basketball player, especially a basketball player that's not known as a non-shooter like JB. Like, he, at the end of the day, that's not his strength, but it's, you know, it's a big part of his game. I think they were trying to embarrass him. They were trying to get in his head. He said it. I think we all saw it. And the fact that it backfired so immediately was pretty wild to watch. I mean, 19 points in the first quarter. He's a first quarter guy. We know that, but that's the highest he's had for any first quarter of the season. So it really couldn't have backfired more. I don't think it was a fully fleshed out thing because probably had they spent weeks debating it, they probably would have landed on no, like just thinking about it a little bit more. But I buy that it was maybe a last second thing, but yeah, it didn't work. So it was pretty funny.
It was brutal. It was real. Sorry if I've been cutting out in the chat. I'll fix it in post so you guys probably won't see it. I just had to switch to my phone hotspot because there's a lot of people at the Garden tonight. So apparently everyone's deciding to screw over the Wi-Fi. But as long as it was just me and you guys can hear yourself clearly, then I can fix myself in post editing so the guys on the YouTube and the audio won't understand what I'm even talking about. But yeah, Jaylen Brown, 19 points in the first quarter. It was not as most of the single quarter ever as I thought it could be. He's had 23 points in a quarter before, so egg on my face, but he was awesome. He handled it well. He talked about it after the game, said thought it was disrespectful, but he respects the Warriors, and he kind of used it to channel his energy into other things. And Steph Curry, was this the worst game he's ever had? No, I know you're a big Steph fan, and so this is like dream shattered for you. Like, he shot
I respected. It might have been, like, one of the worst games he's had as a lifelong follower. Yeah.
It was really bad. He couldn't do anything. And it wasn't like he was just missing open shots. Like, he did a couple of those, but like, the Celtics just gave him no space to work with. They were like, we are literally going to let any other person on this team beat us besides Steph Curry. And Steph Curry didn't beat him, and nobody else in the Warriors did either. And for those inevitable Warriors fans, I don't think Brandon Podziemski was going to save you this one either. So, sorry. Like, this is just absolute dominance from the Celtics on both ends of the court. The defense, I think, is going to get overlooked because they put up 140 points and shot 55-51. They took down a Golden State Warriors team that was 13-3 coming into this one, held them to 88 points, and Steve Kerr had to bench their starters by halftime. Like, that doesn't happen. Or maybe in the third quarter, but like, this was one of the most impressive defensive displays of the season, in my opinion.
Yeah, without a doubt. That's what I was saying earlier, where I think what happened offensively stemmed from what happens defensively, and then you stay in this positive cycle. And so it was just really impressive. I mean, Steph, 0-for-9 from three. When does that happen? Plus the two turnovers, both forced by Jaylen Brown. And even when he created comfortable looks, I mean, he's someone who doesn't need that to make them, but even when he did get them, some of them weren't even close. And so it just speaks to how the Celtics, and Jaylen Brown in particular, made him uncomfortable throughout the first half.
I mean, also in today's NBA, holding a team to 88 points is more impressive than scoring 140. Like, that's probably more unusual. I'm sure if we went back and looked at the box scores, that would validate that. But I mean, the defense to me has been the most underlooked part of this team all year. Like, this is a rare team that has no defensive holes. Like, they, you know, who are you looking for to hunt? Who's the mismatch? Like, it just gets worse. You switch and you go from Holiday to White to Tatum to Brown. Like, Porzingis is waiting through the rim, one of the best rim protectors this year. So I think we've talked so much about this team's offense. How do you stop them? How do you, who do you, you know, what do you give up? You play off Jaylen Brown like he can't shoot. But the defense has been so remarkable and so consistent. And it's a personnel thing, but then it's also a team connectivity thing. And I don't think it's what we saw last year. I think that's a big difference from last year's Celtics team, particularly post-All-Star break. It didn't have the same level of feel that everybody kind of got each other's back and knew where they were, beyond just the personnel additions.
It feels like they've taken this 11-game win streak as an opportunity to, like, what's the right word? Like, they are focusing on avoiding the post-All-Star blues. Like, they are intentionally trying to play as hard as they possibly can when most teams around the league are spending this time to, like, maybe get some rest before the playoffs. Like, this is like, nah, we're going to win the division, or excuse me, the conference by, like, 10 games. We're just like, we're just going to be better than everybody. The Mavericks are a playoff team. They're almost 30-point win. The Warriors have been red hot, one of the best teams of basketball for the past month. Doesn't matter. 50-point win. This is their third 50-point win of the season, and it feels like they are playing at another level than any other team in the league. I saw something today. I think it was Bill Simmons that said, oh, Nuggets, this still league still runs through Denver. And I agree with that, because I think until the champs lose, you got to take down the champs. But am I crazy to think, like, the Celtics are, like, pretty clearly just better than every other team in the league? It's just a matter of if they can mentally do it in four straight series.
Yeah, and that's why I thought today mattered. And most importantly is the switch in mindset. Last season, they've admitted that they got burned, and you could see it coming, that they would look ahead to the playoffs while they were still going through the first 82. This season, it is a win-the-day mantra. And I think Joe Mazzulla in particular deserves a lot of credit for that, coupled with the maturation of the guys that have been here. And so what you have is a team that they're not leaning into excuses, for example, when they played the Orlando Magic earlier in the season and their top three centers are all out and it's their third game in four nights. They ran them off the floor. You know, today they could have leaned into the fatigue excuse, for example. They were, again, the team that had more energy and more effort. And so to me, I think the Celtics' maturation and their day-to-day focus is going to serve them well in the playoffs in this regard.
Football season may be over, but the action on the floor is heating up. Whether it's a tournament season or the fight for a playoff home court, there's no shortage of high-stakes basketball moments this time of year. Get in on the excitement with Prize Picks, America's number one fantasy sports app, where you can turn your hoops knowledge into serious cash. Testing my skills on Prize Picks this season is the most exciting way to play daily fantasy sports. If you have the skills, you can turn $10 into $1,000 with just a few taps. Prize Picks is really simple to play, and I can make my picks and submit my entry in less than 60 seconds. Download the app today and use code CLNS for a first deposit match up to $100. Use the code CLNS for the first deposit match up to $100. Pick more, pick less. It's that easy.
I still think people are overlooking the Nuggets. I think there's the sense of, like, maybe boredom. People weren't super excited about them last year when they won. I feel like the Celtics make for a better narrative for the NBA if they're the new dynasty. And I say that obviously as someone covering the Celtics, but I think if it's a final series between the Celtics and the Nuggets, it's going to be a really good one, and it's going to be a really competitive one, because I don't know how much Nuggets games you guys watch. I feel like on League Pass, if I have the time, I always try to tune into those games, because especially as of late, like, they are clicking. You have Jokic, who is playing just at a unreal level, and if you have Jamal Murray playing at the level that we know he's probably going to play in come May and June, they're a really tough matchup. So I'm not saying I have them as, like, the favorite over the Celtics, but I feel like this narrative of, you know, nobody can beat the Celtics, they're so ahead of the pack, I don't necessarily buy into it, just because we saw Denver do it. We saw them do it in one of the most dominant playoff runs in NBA history. And it's pretty much the same group. Same group when they have now the belief and the confidence of a defending champion.
I think that's a great point. I think, speaking of that, this next stretch they have, Cleveland, Denver, Phoenix, all on the road, all, you know, March 5th, 7th, 9th. One day breaks in between, very normal. There's no back-to-back. There's no, like, 2 days off the normal games. How much – you can only put so much, you know, thought into games in March, right? Like, it's March. Stuff happens. It's whatever. It's not the playoffs. It's not the same thing. How much stock are you guys putting into this next three-game streak? Because, like, we all looked at this post-All-Star stretch, like, at least ahead of – because – put it this way. After this road stretch, they have Portland, Utah, Phoenix, Washington, Detroit, Milwaukee, Detroit, Chicago, Atlanta, Atlanta. Like, there's a pretty significant drop-off in level of competition they face. So how much stock are you guys putting into this Cleveland, Denver, Phoenix little stretch here? Because these are all playoff teams. These are all very good basketball teams with some of the best players in the world, including Denver, which, Noah, you make a good point. Like, no one was talking about them last year when they did it. Are you guys looking at this as, like, I don't want to say statement victories because that's just not the attitude the Celtics have had this year, but effectively, like, this is huge for proving themselves, I suppose, even though they're already the best team in the league.
Well, what the Nuggets have is that they can consistently create a quality shot virtually every time down the floor, and it's very difficult for opponents to disrupt that or prevent it from happening. So the Celtics, as much as we talk about in this final stretch, experimenting and pacing, they also need to, first and foremost, continue to build on the foundation that's allowed them to be so successful so that they don't take a step back and lean too far into not necessarily the wrong things, but what matters less and what will prove less beneficial to them come the playoffs.
Yeah, I don't put too much stock into these next few games just because they're just going to be three more games of this regular season. Like, we have a big enough sample size here. I feel like there have been a couple stretches where I've bought into, like, these next 10 games are really going to tell us a lot about this team. And then they go away. They come away with, like, a 9-1 record in that 10-game streak. So I don't overly weigh them. At the same time, I'd love to see them stack up well against Denver. I didn't think the last matchup was bad at all. They were very close to winning that game. If they come away with a dominant win over Denver, like, sure, that'll give me some confidence in their ability to match up with them in the finals. So that game in particular, I'm curious about. But the stretch as a whole, I mean, they've been beating good basketball teams all year. I feel like there's this feeling a little bit out there that, like, maybe they haven't been, but no, the season's nearly over and they have, they've lost 12 games all season. So I don't think we're going to learn anything, like, super substantial here.
Yeah, it's just, I don't know, it's weird because, like, you want to talk about it and you want to, like, make it a talking point, but it truly does feel like we're not going to get any, like, significance, not the right word, like, any substantial conversation around the Celtics until the playoffs start, because we know what this team is, right? They're murdering everybody. They're beating them by 50. They have 350-point wins on the season. Like, what are you going to do after this, like, to generate valuable discussion? But we've got a month and a half left of that waiting for it. Doubling back on the Jaylen Brown thing, because I think that was by far the most interesting thing to come from this game, considering it wasn't competitive. All the quotes coming out, like Jaylen saying it's disrespectful. I know, Noah, you tweeted something of Draymond saying, like, yeah, we tried it. It just didn't work. Whatever. Like, it's just like I was talking to, like, you guys when we were walking over to record. Like, that was the best you had? Like, leave the All-Star open? Like, I don't understand, like, why, one, how that would ever work. Two, like, what Steve Kerr was trying to do, and he talked about it too. He was like, "Oh, we're just trying stuff. You got to throw stuff at the wall." Like, yeah, not that. Like, that feels like the last thing you should try. And no, you made a good point to, like, or maybe it was Bobby. One of you made the point of, like, not somebody like Jaylen who, like, takes these things personally. Like, I don't know. It's super weird, right? Like, I'm not like, what are we doing?
Yeah, Jaylen with his mentality and the fact that he's a good shooter, and I mean, the Celtics, you go up and down the roster. That applies to pretty much everyone who's going to see the court for significant minutes on a given night. It was an odd choice. I don't know who else would have made for a better decision. But again, with Brown's mentality and approach to the game, it was only going to piss him off. And maybe that proves beneficial to Golden State, but most likely it wasn't going to play out that way, especially when he gets an assignment like Steph Curry, even if he's not shooting well, it can help him to maintain focus and fire him up to play even better at that end if shots aren't falling. And so to me, it was a poorly thought decision there. And I think, Noah, you're absolutely right earlier when you said that, hey, maybe if they had put more time into this, they probably would have decided not to go through with it.
Yeah, I mean, it's just you're treating him like he hasn't been on. He also, as of late, has been really shooting the ball well. So you're picking this at a weird time. Like, there was a stretch where he actually was struggling from three. And usually that's not because he's missing wide open threes. It's because he's taking difficult threes that are like early shot clock threes. And so, you picked the wrong guy, you picked the wrong time. It probably, had it worked, it would have looked genius and it would have been really concerning. And we'd probably all be sitting here being like, if teams are all going to start sagging off Jaylen Brown, like, what does it do? So maybe it was worth the risk that, like, the upside was really high for them. And you saw Draymond kind of say that to the reporters that spoke to him in the locker room. I don't know if you guys got a chance to see that yet, but he was like, yeah, well, if it worked, it would have been really cool. It would have been a big story that Jaylen Brown, you can sag off him and you get in his head. But yeah, it's not the story of today's game, at least.
Yeah, Draymond's quotes are like insane. He goes, "We implemented our strategy 15 minutes before we left the locker room. So I just don't think we put a full defensive gameplay together." One, why say that? Like, that's not like something. That's not an excuse. That's stupid. Like, that's just stupidity. That's not like something cool. And then also, he goes, "It worked. He just made shots." So it didn't work. Right. So it didn't.
It worked, and the fact that they successfully played off him, like, that's just that's insane. But that's.
I mean, that's what you.
Go ahead, Noah.
No, go ahead.
That's what I was saying earlier, where as much as I buy into, hey, they treated this like a regular season game in early March and put this together 15 minutes or so before tip off, I also think there are reasons to believe that they wanted this game and didn't exclusively. I don't think ducking it and trying some wonky strategy tells the entire story of what happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was funny to me is that it's kind of like a desperate attempt too of being like, you know, we can't stop this team, so let's sag off of one of their players. But it's you actually can't. You actually beat them last time you faced off. So that was kind of weird to me too. It's like you don't actually need to do something that crazy because you won without Draymond Green against this roster. We didn't even see Porzingis tonight. So it's not like you have this new dynamic that we don't think we can handle it. We're down 3-0 in the series. Let's try something different. Like, it was just a weird time for it. I'm trying to find Jaylen Brown's three-point percentage for his last 10 games, but my internet's being slow. But I know it's been good. That's why I'm just curious about that because I feel like that's something you would look at is like, is this guy coming in feeling good about a shot or not?
Last 10 games, he's shooting 37.5% from three. So he's been a good, like, it's not like he's like good. Struggled. It's still like okay. Not leave this guy wide open and let him do whatever he wants. It's also Jaylen Brown. It was such a weird thing. Also, something else I just realized, like, they've had 3 50-point wins this season. Two out of the three have been without one of their starters. Because Jaylen didn't play in that Brooklyn game, right? And this one, I forgot Porzingis didn't even play in this game. And they still, like, barreled through a Warriors team that was killing it. Like, it's just so hard to beat a Celtics team like this. Like imagine what would the Warriors' plan have been if Kristaps did play? Because they were too stretched thin to the point where they had to leave Jaylen Brown open in this one. If you had Chris, like, it just, I don't know. It didn't make any sense to me. It was very weird. Also, Noah, as the resident bench videographer, any notable reactions or any fun like things on the court that you want to catch us up in this one?
I'm so glad you asked, Jack, because actually the timeout that they kept referring to, you know how I'm always filming the bench. Normally it's like nothing's going on and my phone is telling me that I'm out of
storage. I always have to like stop myself like when I go to talk to you because I don't want to be on the thing. Yes.
I know. It's like you're just saying something crazy. But the timeout that I got, and you can find it still, I will send it to you, but that was the timeout that every single player on the Celtics came over to him and was like yelling at him. And you could tell it was like a hype up kind of yelling, but they were all saying like, shoot the ball. Like, let's go like take advantage and humiliate this game plan. I didn't hear those words, but you could tell that was the energy. And Drew Holiday started it. And then Al Horford was just like yelling at him. And that's really unusual. Like, I watch a lot of the timeouts. Normally nobody's really talking. Everybody's catching their breath. The coaches are kind of centering at half court. It's not like they're a team that is like always yelling at each other and being super like animated, which is why normally my timeout videos are really boring and don't go anywhere. But that timeout, after that, he came out and hit, I think, 10 consecutive points. And then the game was kind of over after that. So it was like really cool to actually see like the second the timeout was called, every single person wanted to make sure that he knew that not only did he have the green light, but like he pretty much had to make this game plan not work on his own, and that they wanted him to shoot it every single time, and then he hit three in a row, so it worked.
Yeah, I mean, there's not much more to say about this game. I'll just like Tatum played well, 27 points. Horford, like, I always run through the stats on these, but like the stats are useless. The entire starting lineup was a plus 35 or better on the night. Like, Kornet played well in his minutes. Tillman was great. He had some great defensive moments. Like, the two backup bigs, you know, we're talking.
Hauser
about
had a terrific game.
They played great. Hauser was really good. He had his rebounds. The bench. Anybody stand out of like the stay ready group to you guys? Like anybody in particular outside of Sfi just being like, oh, it's Sfi time to shoot really shots. Like, what'd you guys think of those bench minutes before we get out of here?
So I'll let Noah handle from the stay ready crew, but I just wanted to circle back with Jaylen because there was an interesting sequence against Dallas where he gets the ball, a potentially open look from the corner, and he hesitates, and then he ultimately goes through with it and he misses. And then luckily, the very next time down the floor, he gets it in the same spot, open look, and he lets it fly without any delay, and he swishes it. And this time around, in the first quarter, before that timeout where everyone's going over and talking to him, he had another one of these examples where he hesitated and he was reluctant to shoot. He ultimately did, and he missed. And so I do think it matters for whatever psychologically has happened in those specific examples the last two games, that there was a break where the team was able to talk to him and basically say, it's cool with us. These are the right shots for the team. Let it fly every time. And he did so moving forward.
Great point, Bobby. On the Stay Ready piece, also glad you asked, O'Shea Brissett is going to go home an unsung hero tonight. Not only did he the box score shows you a little bit, he actually did lead the entire team in rebounding. He had 8 rebounds tonight in just under 20 minutes. But what doesn't show up on the stat sheet is that he was literally playing every last possession of that fourth quarter like it was his last possession. Like, I at one point I just started watching him, and there were some rebounds that he missed, a couple finishes that he didn't finish, a couple defensive plays where like he almost grabbed a steal and then didn't. But he, I mean, it was so remarkable, and it was so Stay Ready of him. Like, he came out and he just left everything on the floor. You would never would have guessed the score. And his final stat sheet doesn't really tell the story. 6 points, 8 rebounds, 2 assists, 2 steals. Not bad, actually. But, you know, just watching him, it was really cool to see. And I thought he had a really, really good second half there.
Definitely. Didn't hit 3 threes, though, did he, Bobby?
I mean, you saw how airtight they were guarding him. They didn't want to let him get hot.
Is that your thing, Bobby? You think he's a three-point shooter?
Well, he's my Syracuse brethren, so defend him to the
death. Oh, I didn't even think that.
Sam.
The origin is Sam is full in on O'Shea Brissett, the shooter. And so I have championed this with him.
Oh.
Sam is convinced that anybody can learn to shoot because learning to shoot is relatively easy, and so he should just learn. And I say, Sam, it's not – I understand, but I just don't think it's going to happen.
If he gets with lethal shooter this offseason and removes the hitch, look out.
The hitch is tough, though. God. But yes.
The hitch is tough.
All right. I think that covers it. Any final thoughts? Anything you guys think I missed on this Warriors game?
I think we covered it all.
No, you think we got it? All right. Well,
all good for me. Yeah, case. Appreciate being on.
Sweet. Yeah. Thank you all for tuning in. Appreciate y'all for watching. Make sure to like and subscribe to the video. You can find Noah on Twitter at Noah Dalzell MBA. Bobby and did I just cut out? And am I back?
You absolutely did.
That was phenomenal. That was great timing. Am I back now, though? Am I back and live and in here?
We can hear and see you crystal clear.
Perfect. Well, thank y'all for tuning in. Make sure to subscribe to How About Them Celtics. You can check out Noah's work at Celtics Blog and Swish Appeal, right? Did I get that right? I'm just making sure I'm covering my bases.
Yes, thank you.
Sweet. Bobby's at si.com /Celtics, which is inside the Celtics there. And yeah, thank you all for tuning in. We appreciate it. See you guys next time.